Morning, everyone. Our lesson today is from two sections of the New Testament. First reading is Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. The second reading will be from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. So the first bit is Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through to 22. You'll find that on page 958 of your pew Bibles. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So just now going to our second reading, and 2 Timothy 3, 14 through to 17, and you'll find that on page 1179 of your pew Bibles. "But as for you, continue in what you have learnt and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work."
From time to time, the advertisers manage to get me thinking. From time to time. I was watching TV the other night and one of the Bupa ads came on. You've seen these ads where you have one person just going about their daily business and they meet a healthier version of themselves. And when the unhealthy version comes up against that picture of reality, there's a wistful look of regret on the face of the unhealthy person, like this lady you see on the screen, which is a mixture of regret and kind of panic, I think, actually. But she's thinking something like, "What if I had done something about this earlier? What if I had gone and got a checkup? What if I had had my vital signs checked and done something to improve them?" Now, I say this ad got me thinking because it has been a few years since my last full checkup. And now I thank God that I've been pretty healthy throughout my life. I've been able to do the things that I've wanted to do. But, you know, what if there was a healthier me? Would you be able to take a healthier me? I mean, that's the question. But what if there was a healthier me? What if I had my vital signs checked out and there was something that I could do to give them a lift? What if there was a healthier you? Same applies to our spiritual lives. We can be muddling along, thinking about God every now and then, saying a prayer, managing to get to church in the rain, well done. But what if there was a healthier spiritual you? What if you had the chance to check your vital signs and do something about them? This is true for us as a church as well as individuals. Our church has always known what it's been doing. We've been about transforming people into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's been our mission statement. We've been about bringing people to Jesus, building them up in Jesus, sending them out for Jesus. But how are we going with that? What are we building? It's time for a checkup. It's time for us as a church and us for as individuals to have a spiritual health check. It's time that we had a look at our vital signs. It's always good to take yourself back to the Bible and say, what are we doing here and how are we going? And so over the next 6 weeks, that is what we will be doing. We will be looking at our vital signs our signs of life in Jesus Christ. Signs that we actually are being built up in Christ, like we say we're trying to do. And each of the vital signs that we will look at over the next 6 weeks has a story built into it. Each one identifies what God has done for us first, and then declares what we should be doing as a result of what God has done for us. And so you'll see that in our first vital sign that we're going to look at today. Our first vital sign, which kind of covers all the rest of them, is that called people follow. Called people follow. And we're given a picture of what this vital sign looks like in action. The picture is there in the first reading that we heard for us from Matthew chapter 4. So you might like to turn that open if you don't have it open now. There's a black Bible in the seat in front of you. It's page 958 in that Bible, or flick it up on your phones. Have a look at this picture, and it helps us to understand what called people follow looks like in action. And what that looks like is going to look like for us today. Let's have a look at the picture. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. So here's the picture. You see two things. Firstly, Jesus calls. Jesus calls. And there's three things to notice about this call from Jesus. Firstly, the call comes from Jesus to these people. And you think, well, thank you for that. That's kind of bleedingly obvious. But notice what the Bible tells us here. It's Jesus who saw the men. It's Jesus who spoke to the men. It is Jesus who called the men. All the initiative in this calling comes from Jesus towards the men. And his calling of them is nothing to do with how good they are. It's nothing to do with what sort of past they've had. It's nothing to do with the sort of job that they're involved in now. It comes to them exactly in the life situation they are in. In other words, the call from Jesus is completely undeserved. It is completely of grace. And that's important for us to note there, because it's a detail that we can skip over. We will come back to that. Firstly, the call comes from Jesus to the men. Secondly, the call is about a relationship with a live person. Again, it seems kind of obvious in this narrative account. It's a walking and talking Jesus who comes into their situation in life and says, "Come and follow me." Me, the person Jesus, me who's standing there in front of you. And this is what is unique about Christianity as we think about it today. It's not about following a set of teachings from somebody who is now passed away. It's about an ongoing relationship with a real and living person who is the Christ. So the call comes from Jesus. The call's about a relationship with a live person. And third thing we see about the call is that it asks for a radical commitment of trust. Come and follow me. In other words, stop following anyone else. Stop following anything else. And follow me. It's a call to let Jesus be the leader of their life, not just where their physical feet are going, but their whole thinking about life, their whole set of priorities. It's a radical call to depart from the past and go with Jesus. You see, Jesus doesn't just come to Simon Peter and have a chat. Hi, how are you going? He doesn't say, hi, can I make your life better? Hi, could we have a chat sometime? Hi, is there room in your life for me? He doesn't say, hi, once you've figured out all the questions that you've got about me, would you mind paying me a little bit of attention at some point in some stage of your busy schedule? Jesus says, follow me. So Jesus calls. That's the first part of this picture we see in Matthew 4. The other part of the picture we see is that the disciples follow. The disciples follow. And there's two things we see in the way that the disciples follow. First, they listen to Jesus' voice. They listen to his voice. You can imagine the scene. There's Peter and Andrew, waist deep in the lake. Their muscles bulging as they lift their nets high to cast them once again into the water. They are fishermen. That's what they do. Day in, day out. Their very livelihood depends on the success of that next throw of the net and the catch that they might get. That's how they're going to survive. That's how they're going to eat. That's how they're going to make their money to provide for their family. It's the same with James and John in that picture. There they are in the boat with their father Zebedee. The two boys carrying on the family business. They know how important it is to go out and capture the next load of fish for the day. So they're there getting their nets ready in the boat, untangling them, laying them out, ready to cast them out as they go once again out into the sea. There they are in the busyness of life, all of these guys. And into those scenes of day-to-day life, into those scenes of normal working life with all of its stresses and all of its pressures, speaks a voice. Now, no doubt there were many voices along the shore. No doubt it was a noisy kind of place. But as they hear Jesus' voice called out to them, they stopped. And they listened. They stopped and they listened. They stopped everyday life to hear what the voice was saying. This person, this voice commanded attention. Even though there was work to be done, even though the busyness of life was surrounding them, they needed to hear this voice as though their very lives depended on it. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. They listen to his voice, but they don't just hear the words. No. More importantly, they trust the words, and so they go walking with Jesus. They trust his words, and so they walk with him. Jesus is saying a pretty confronting thing to these guys. Come and follow me. Who knows what it looked like as Simon, Peter, and Andrew processed the words. What did he say? What? Who knows what was going through James and John's mind when they heard Jesus come and say, follow me. And they're in the boat with their dad and they're like, follow. But dad, what? What? Who knows how it was processed? But there's no doubt that they arrived at a point where they fully grasped what Jesus was saying. You know that because we see what they do. Look what Simon, Peter, and Andrew do. Matthew 4, verse 20. At once, they left their nets and followed him. And look what James and John do. Verse 21 and 22. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. All of them. They leave their nets. They leave their boats. James and John leave their dad in the boat, holding the nets. And let's be clear, they weren't leaving the nets and dad and the boat to come back to them a little bit later on. Oh, hang on, we're just going to go check out what Jesus has got to say. We'll be back, you know, kind of lunchtime-ish. It's not that kind of leaving. It is, we're leaving them and we're not coming back. They left their lives. They left their previous priorities. They left the other voices that have spoken into their life and directed their lives up till that point. They left all of that to walk with Jesus. In other words, the relationship that was created by the call of Jesus meant that they had to listen to his voice above all the others. To trust him was to obey and to walk. And as they walk with Jesus, they continue to listen to his voice. And as they continue to walk and listen to Jesus, they continue to leave more of their previous life behind, more of their previous priorities. They leave their thoughts of what it meant to be great behind. They leave their thoughts of how they're going to be secure in this life behind. They leave it behind and they keep walking with their leader, Jesus. That's the picture from Matthew 4. Jesus calls, disciples follow. And that picture is a wonderful picture to help us to understand the reality that we are involved in right now. Because the reality for each one of us individually and the reality for us as a church here at St. Paul's in the year 2013 is that the same things are at work for us right now. Jesus calls. Jesus calls each one of us. Jesus calls us as a church. And we see the same three things about the call. Firstly, the call comes from God through Jesus. It comes from God to us. The initiative is all with God. Paul writes to the Galatian church in Galatians 1. You see the verses on the screen. He says this, when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. You see what he's saying? Paul is saying, while he was still in his mother's womb, the call came from God to him. He could do nothing about it. It is all God's initiative to him. And that's an amazing thing for him to say, because this is a guy who spent years chasing down Christians, chasing down people who named the name of Jesus and putting them to death. And he's saying when it came to the point in his life where he understood who Jesus was and what he had done for him by dying and rising for him, when he came to that point and responded to him, the initiative had all been from God. It was God's call on him. The same is true for us, friends. We read in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 about the Thessalonian church. Paul says, and we thank God continually because when you, Thessalonians, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. You see what Paul's saying here? God's voice is heard as his word is spoken by human messengers. As the Thessalonian church heard the gospel, heard the gospel preached in their midst, and their hearts responded to it in faith. Paul says, right there, you heard the voice of God. You heard the call of God in your life. God had acted before you to come and speak to you and ask you to follow him. And so it's true for you, friends. Whenever it was that you came to faith, wherever it was, when you heard the message of the Lord Jesus and responded, there is the call of God on your life. It came to you and met you where you were, in the busyness of your life, in all the circumstances of your life. It came and grabbed you, all of grace. And friends, what an anchor for our soul that is. Because when you look at your life, if you look in at your life and you're thinking and examining your life, if you bury down as far as you can go. You say, what's left here? What's left here? What you find at the bedrock of our lives is a security that has nothing to do with our performance in this life. The call comes from God into our lives, meets us where we are and grabs us for his own. That is true about our call. The second thing we saw in the picture is true about our call as well. The call is about a relationship with a living person. Lots of people speak about Christianity, as though it's like just an abstract set of ideas. And that's not wrong at one level. We talk about defending Christianity and knowing the truth and commending it and defending it. That's all true and good, but it's easy if we speak like that, if you use that sort of label, it's easy to move your mind in a way of thinking that that's what we're on about. Here's a set of abstract truths or doctrines that we've got to understand and agree with, and that's what Christianity is. Friends, that's not the essence of what you and I are bound up in. That's not what it's really all about. What it's really all about is that God has called you and me into a relationship. A relationship with a living and breathing person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, God is faithful, this God who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what it's about. That's what the calling is about, into a relationship. And we need to renew this vision of what being a Christian is all about. See, when we gather here on a Sunday, when you gather in your small groups, when you're walking as a Christian, it's not about carrying on the traditions of some forefathers. It's not about representing a set of abstract ideas. It is about a relationship with a real live person. And we know he's alive because he died for us, but then rose again. And this person we're called into relationship with is now the one who sits on the throne above all the heavens and all the earth as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is the one that God has called you into relationship with. A real live person. And that changes the way. Changes the way we view ourselves. It changes the way we hear the call to come follow. And we need to get that clear, because the third thing we saw about the call in the picture from Matthew 4 is true for us as well. The call from Jesus comes to us and it asks for a radical commitment of trust. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, he wrote about their radical trust, which had become famous amongst all the region where their church was. And so he wrote in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, other churches tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. What was famous about their trust? They turned away from idols and they turned to the true and living God. That church had heard the call of Jesus just like Simon Peter and Andrew had heard it. They'd heard it and left their old lives behind. They'd left all the other old voices behind. They had stopped trusting in the vain and empty things of this life, and they put all their trust in Jesus instead. And friends, we as individuals and as a church, we need to hear this call afresh. It's the call to let Jesus be the leader of our lives. Because his call to us is not, hi, how you going? His call to us is not, hey, if you get a moment, will you pay me a little bit of attention? His call to us is not, hey, is there any room left in your schedule for me? His call is, I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Follow me. Leave the other voices behind. Let my voice be the one that stands over all. Jesus calls. We are a called people. And so the second thing is true of us as well. Disciples follow. Called people follow. The disciples now do the same two things that the disciples did back in our picture in Matthew chapter 4. Number one, they stop and listen to his voice. They stop and listen to his voice. The scriptures promise that by paying attention to them, we are actually engaging with the breathed out words of God. That's what we heard in our second reading this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 3. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed, literally breathed out by God, part of his voice coming out of his mouth, mixed with the air, his spirit that comes out of his mouth. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The scriptures are there. The voice of God speaking in to the busyness of our lives. Speaking into lives that are crowded with decisions that have to be made about how we're going to survive today, about how I'm going to do the work that I need to do today, about how I'm going to manage my family today. Into the midst of that busyness, just like into the midst of the busyness for Simon, Peter, and Andrew, the voice comes. The voice of the scriptures comes. And what do disciples do? The disciple follows Jesus by stopping and listening. Stopping and listening to Jesus speak by his Spirit in his word. And we do this in a number of different settings. We do this as we gather together here in a large group on Sundays, as we open the Bible, as we hear the Bible faithfully proclaimed. That's why we ask you to have a Bible open in front of you, that you can check that whatever the preacher says is the words of Scripture and is consistent with the words of Scripture, because only in that will we be able to hear the voice of God and follow him as his disciples. As we engage with God and his word in small groups, as you get together with other disciples and open the word and wrestle over what it says and what it means and how it applies to your life, you are stopping and listening that you might follow. As you do your own time in the Bible, you open his word, whether you reap, whether you do something else, as you engage with God in your personal time, the disciple is the one who stops and listens. We have ways that we encourage you to do that. Of course, is the Reap Journal. If you don't have a Reap Journal, you can grab the bookmark you should have got today, or you can get the app, shameless plug, right, which has the Reap readings all built into it. So you don't need anything else. But we do that because that's how disciples follow the Lord who has called us. Disciples are those who stop and listen that they might follow. But not only do they hear the words, they trust him, and so they walk with him. And it's interesting, you see that the image of walking is used all the way throughout the New Testament in lots of different letters by lots of different authors as a picture of the Christian life. The Christian life is not a mental assent to some ideas. It's a walk. It's a whole body, whole person commitment that moves through following a leader. And you see in Ephesians 4:1, the ideas of calling and walking linked together. So Paul says this, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, Ephesians, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. In Romans 6:4, we hear we were buried with Jesus by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. This is a picture of leaving the past behind, that you might follow the Lord Jesus. This is a picture of setting the other voices of this world that want to speak into your life behind. The voices of the world that tell you how to be a success by what you own. The voices of your parents with the expectations they had of whether you would have a successful life. The voices of the community that tell you whether you're a worthy person by what you're doing with your children. All those other voices left behind. This is a picture of leaving behind your nets. This is a picture of leaving behind your father in the boat, if that's what it takes. You want to know the real test of trusting Jesus' voice and walking with him? The real test is when Jesus' voice differs from the voice of the world that we live in. The real test is when following Jesus' voice will bring us into a life of discomfort with the world around us. When loud atheists ridicule Christians on TV, and the temptation is to shrink and be quiet, wherever you are, wherever you're walking, Jesus says, no, follow me. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I died for you. I rose for you. Follow me. When the world around us shouts loudly about redefining marriage, and we say marriage is a good gift from God that's given to us for the good ordering of the world that God made, and scorn and ridicule and persecution will come your way, Jesus says, I'm the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I died for you. I rose for you. Follow me. Listen to my voice. It's the only voice that will lead you home. Real disciples stop and listen, and they trust him, and so they walk with him all of life, all their priorities, all their commitments, following the leader. So, do you want a healthier you? Do you want to be part of a healthier church, not just for you, but for your children and for your grandchildren? Check your vital signs. Vital sign number one, called people followed. Friends, you have been called by God's grace into your life to have you as his own. You have been called and you continue to be called to follow him. Are you following? Are you following? Are you stopping and listening to his voice? Are you trusting him and walking according to his voice all of your life? That is a sign of life in Christ. That is a sign of being built up into Christ. May we as disciples and us as his church listen and trust and obey, that we might follow him all our days. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that into the midst of the muck and the mire of our lives, your call came. You made it possible for us to know you and love you by Jesus' death and resurrection. And now the risen Lord Jesus calls us to follow him in all of our lives. Father, will you renew our vision of us in a relationship with the risen Lord Jesus? This is not an abstract set of ideas, but a relationship. And in that relationship, will you help us by your Spirit, will you help us to put his voice above all others? Will you help us to stop and listen? will you help us to trust and walk? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I loved being reminded this morning that as we think about following, we're not talking about following a philosophy or just a set of ideas, but following and entering into a relationship with a live person. I'm alarmed sometimes how many times as I speak to people, I hear people use phrases like, yeah, I got into it, or I decided I wasn't going to be into it any longer. We're talking about following him. A man was once challenged. A man in India who decided to follow Jesus was once challenged by his chief, and the chief commanded that he renounce Jesus. And that man, well, he was executed, he and his wife, but his last words, we are about to sing a song based on them. He said, I've decided to follow Jesus, and in the face of this persecution, he said, the cross before me and the world behind me. This wasn't a man who was hearing a call to follow some abstract idea. This was a man who was ready to give his life to follow a living, powerful, and present God. Please stand and let us echo these words as well as we declare that we follow